I'm Father Seraphim Bishoner, and I welcome you to another episode of Theosis, our daily journey through Easter as we strive each and every day to see more and more fully the wonders of Christ's resurrection in our lives, to see every day more clearly the graces of the Holy Spirit, to strive to live each and every day following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who became like us so that we might become like him. Today is the second Sunday of Easter, the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing women, and our meditation begins with the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." And they departed and fled from the tomb, for trembling and fear had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. St. Gregory Nazianzen writes in his 45th oration, "If you are the Magdalene, or another Mary, or a Salome, or a Joanna, shed your tears early in the morning, but be the first to see the stone rolled away, and maybe you will see the angels, and even Jesus himself. Speak to him and hear his voice. If he tells you, 'Do not touch me,' then stand apart and worship the Lord. Do not weep, for Christ knows those to whom he first appears. Celebrate the feast of the resurrection, and give your help both to Eve, who was the first to fall, and to Mary, who was the first to embrace Christ, and who made the resurrected Christ known to the disciples." Today is the Sunday, as I said, of the myrrh-bearing women, of those women who approached the tomb early on Easter Sunday, coming to anoint the body. And the Eastern Church celebrates the memory of these women who followed Jesus during his earthly ministry and aided him with their own resources. These women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and the wife of Cleophas, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, a steward of the Herod Antipas, Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, Susanna, and Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, are also the women that would come to the tomb in embalming Christ's body and thus be the first to hear of his resurrection. Also on this day, the Eastern Church remembers Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, the secret disciples of the Lord. And so this day can be seen as a celebration of the appearance of the risen Lord to those who followed him, especially to his mother. For all the scripture does not mention the presence of the Virgin Mary, Eastern tradition holds that at the resurrection it was first announced to her, and that there was no significant life or event in the life of Jesus in which she was not present. Last week, on the eighth day after Easter, we celebrated the appearance of the risen Lord to St. Thomas on the eighth day after his resurrection. And so it may seem strange to celebrate today an event that occurred on the very day of Christ's resurrection. Last week was chronologically appropriate, since the resurrection and the appearance of Thomas were 8 days apart. It was also theologically important in reinforcing the connection between the first and the eighth days, that are the day of creation and the day of renewal. And it was important because it showed that Thomas' resurrection of Jesus is divinity in his words, "My Lord and my God." Still, it does make the commemoration of the holy myrrh-bearing women today seem somewhat chronologically out of place. Perhaps it is most fitting for us today, however, that we recount the appearance of the angel to the holy women today, as we did on Easter Sunday 2 weeks ago. For today we are coming to a transition point in our Sunday meditations, and are again being asked to ask the question that is, having heard the proclamations of the holy women concerning the risen Christ, do we believe? That is, 2 weeks ago the apostles who first heard the woman's tale were skeptical. Today we hear the women again tell us of their encounter with the angel. We'll be skeptical once more. This is a question of utmost importance as we move into the next couple weeks away from post-resurrectional events to a greater focus upon the divinity of Christ as it was shown before the events of the Passion. If we have doubts as to Jesus' divinity after the resurrection, how can we expect to see the presence of God active throughout Jesus' earthly ministry? And last Sunday, we were called to examine the reactions to the news of Christ's resurrection. Thomas initially disbelieves. The myrrh-bearing women are initially frightened into silence. And so once again, the scriptures and the church question our own responses to the discovery of the presence of the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit within the world around us. Are we afraid to tell others, perhaps believing that we will be thought foolish? Or do we disbelieve because we believe it couldn't possibly be real? In our modern world, with its emphasis on science and reason, it can be easy to doubt the reality of the divine around us. What might once have been considered the wonder of love between two people is now sometimes described as just the result of a chemical and a biological reaction. Certainly God desires us to use our reason, and the truths of science cannot be denied. However, to deny the reality of the sacred in the world is to deny that we live in a world that has been redeemed and sanctified by the resurrection of Christ and the constant acts and grace of the Spirit. Our Easter journey, thus, is an opportunity to open us more fully to the possibility of discovering God's holy presence within a secular society. We may seek to discover our own burning bush, but the tendency to look for the dramatic often means that we miss the little miracles and miss many of the signs of God's presence and blessing each and every day. When we do see these little signs in our lives, and the smile of a child, the touch of a lover, the smell of a fresh breeze, let us not hesitate to share those signs of God's redemptive action with others. For as we saw in the story of St. Mary of Egypt, the wonders of God are to be declared and made known. And so we will conclude with our Easter refrain. Christ is risen from the dead. By death he trampled death, and to those in the graves he granted life.